Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, daspitlaw.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the audition with Del Olale and the guy vying to be his sidekick, Danny Vera.
RJ, is there any way to remove the presence of the bench going forward as far as the rest of the shows today, well, the rest of the time today and through the rest of the week? I don't want to hear that music anymore. No, I'm messing with you. Don't worry about it. I don't want to hear that terrible rendition of whatever that song is because it reminds me of John and Lance.
Seriously, why is the window to the producer booth so dirty? Like, how can you?
I don't know if anyone knows how to clean it. Is it the inside? Like, there's 2 panes of glass, right? I think. Right. I think it's been set up that way and no one has done anything about it since. Because I don't think Windex is going to fix that.
No,
because I think the grime and the grease is on the inside part
of shows past.
Yeah, well, it's been a lot has gone on in here. Some good, mostly bad, and certainly disappointing. So I don't know how you clean that. It's very inside radio because no one can see it, but the glass is dirty. You can barely tell if RJ's standing up, and we have lights in here for the cameras for the people on Twitch. So if he stands up and tries to send a signal, there's no chance we see it. So it's a rough life we're living here. The Astros win last night, 12-2, the final, as the Brewers take one on the chin. It was a beatdown, and it was comfortable.
Like, it was fun.
Yeah, because yesterday
you got it over early.
Yeah, you relaxed.
To the NBA game,
which was a good one. Yeah.
Catch up on Jeopardy Masters. Maybe
you
Top
talked
Chef.
About that yesterday. How did that go for you, Jeopardy Masters?
It's good. I wish Matt Imodio would have performed better, but he's got another chance tonight. Step up.
And the premise of it is the best to ever do it in Jeopardy, at least the ones that are alive.
Yeah.
Okay. And Ken Jennings.
He hosts.
He doesn't participate. No. Him and Mayim Bialik, are they still the dual host?
Yep.
Blossom.
Yeah,
if you guys don't know who that the real name is. We have a she's not what?
She's not good.
Why does she still have the job?
I don't know.
I'm not a showrunner. I don't run that show, Dell. I don't know why she still has. I don't make that decision. Speaking of that, I mentioned Mayim Bialik, and we have a topic on this show.
Where are you throwing from Blossom?
I told you, I just remember facts that don't mean anything other than.
But where are you going with this?
No, we had someone put a topic on the show about people you know only by their character name.
Oh, yeah, Blossom.
Blossom. Definitely. Like, you would know Mayim Bialik, but you know Blossom.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know the name of the Han from Fast and the Furious. I just know him as Han, the guy who died and came back to life. And apparently another person does that in this upcoming movie. Or it's already out. I haven't seen it. Fast 10. We brought it up on the rundown. Do you know of some? Is there one for you that you're like, I don't know who you are as a real person, but I know your character name?
Maybe, but I'm pretty good at
actors'
names. So.
I'm pretty good at that.
But so. Omar from The Wire, rest in peace.
Michael K. Williams, yeah. Yeah.
But he'll always be Omar.
Certainly.
Even though he was Chalky in Boardwalk Empire.
Pretty
much anybody on The Sopranos. Like,
that's true.
Paulie, or even Christopher was on White Lotus this season, but he's still Christopher.
Yeah.
He's just grown up Christopher with gray hair.
Christopher, what's his real name? I don't know. Michael Imperioli. There it
yeah.
is. There's a Chappelle Show sketch from a long time ago. It was the wife swapping episode or sketch. Where he's with the white family, and he's sitting, he's in the bathroom on the toilet, and he pulls up a magazine. And he goes, is Renee Zellweger, because it's part of a bit that I think he did in his comedy where he goes, some black people don't know who white stars are, where we don't, they don't know the names of them. And that, I think that's what that, it was a playoff of that.
Do black people know what Scandoval is?
I didn't know until you brought it up.
RJ,
do you know what Scandoval is?
Yeah.
I guess the question would be, do enough black people watch Vanderpump Rules to know what you're talking about?
No,
I don't
watch
it.
Doesn't sound like it.
No. Apparently, it's the biggest scandal in reality TV history, from what I've been told.
It's pretty big.
What's it involve? Cheating? Big. Adultery?
It's a long-time reality show on Bravo about the inner workings of a restaurant. And there's a lot of cheating going on. And this cheating was after 10 years of a relationship. It takes a whole lot to break down Scandoval. You can't just do it on a 3 hour. Even if I had all 3 hours to explain it, it still wouldn't be long enough to explain.
You have to
Scandoval.
You have to watch the show to understand. And Danny told me it paid off for him because he watches it in the background while your wife is watching, but you're in the room watching.
It's on. You know, I'm on the phone and it's on. I don't have to pay attention to it. It's that kind of show for me.
Scandoval. It's kind of white noise where it's, you don't have to be an active watcher and you don't miss anything because it's not that type of show. It's not.
Are you going to watch White Men Can't Jump?
I know it's on Hulu. And
is anybody asking for Jack Harlow to be in White Men Can't Jump?
No, I feel like he got that because he knows Tyler Hero. Like because he was in a music video of Tyler Hero where they play basketball. I don't know why Jack Harlow is playing the Woody Harrelson character. The movie holds up.
The original holds up now.
Yeah, it does. You don't need to look. I'm not against the remake. I'm not completely against it on principle, but I have no desire to watch. Like, I know where it is. I know it's out. I saw the trailer. It's fine. I like the actor playing the Wesley Snipes character. I've seen him in some stuff.
He did look pretty good. I don't know.
I've seen him in some stuff, but there's no pull. There's no draw. I don't even know who's playing the Rosie Perez character. I'm not even interested in it enough to look it up on IMDb. So, to answer your question, it'll probably after the playoffs are over, maybe a slow time in July.
Well, you have two days in between finals games. So you got
to
fill this.
I got to listen to all the podcasts.
Watch Air again.
No,
have you watched it yet?
No, I don't.
I'm going to watch it.
I don't care that much about Ben Affleck or Matt Damon in movies together. So that's the thing I do on principle, not watch them in movies together. I've seen enough of you two in
movies
together.
You're showing
them. No, it's my thing. I know it's an internal battle that I'm having. It doesn't affect them at all. But sometimes you have to stand your ground. And the line I'm drawing, I've seen enough of you two in movies. I don't need to see you two in movies together anymore.
Movies. At least in Matt Damon's case.
Yeah. No, it's together. I'll watch them individually. I'm going to watch Flash, and he's in Ben Affleck's in that as one of the two Batmans, at least so far. Who knows who else might be in there as a surprise.
Michael Keaton's in it.
No, I mean, I said one of the two Batmans. Maybe there's a third. I don't know how many Batmans will show up in that show, considering the subject matter of the movie. But I don't want to watch them together. That's my line of the sand. It's more like a Boston thing. That's pretty much my distaste for Boston. I think that's what that's about. As we veer away from
whatever it was,
whatever we were going to talk about. So the Astros, 12-2 the final. Yordan, great, as we all know. One of the most dominant hitters in baseball. The Jose Abreu thing, I guess, will be a thing. But Christian Javier, another good start for him. That's four straight quality starts. The Astros have won the last four times he started. And just rolling along. He's not the quote-unquote star of the rotation. That's Fromber's taken that role. But Javier has been big for the Astros since he's been a starter, and he continues to be. And the fact that they found these – I've talked about this before. They found these guys. They found a way to extend this window because of where they found pitching from. Guys who weren't that heralded when they were drafted or found through the international way. But they continue to keep this thing afloat. And I say afloat when they're certainly doing better than that. But despite the departures of the big names like Cole and Verlander and the injuries, and Keuchel as well at one point, and Greinke's gone with that mid-season acquisition. Don't you miss the quirks of Zach Greinke?
Yeah. Calling his pitches and showing him to the hitter. Like, he didn't care.
Yeah, he didn't care. I'm out
talking
here
to himself, pumping himself up.
Just out here balling. I don't care. I'll do what I like.
I do miss Greinke.
Yeah, he was an entertaining figure for the Astros. But I know Luis Garcia is hurt. But even Urquidy, I mean, it seems like a long time ago, but he was big in the World Series. He stopped the bleeding for the Astros, and of course, they couldn't come through in the end. So they found these guys, and they continue to find them, and Javier's just another one of those guys. And all of a sudden, you go from having to you're not doling out money to Cole and Verlander leaves and the injuries to McCullers, but still, just fine. And one game behind the Rangers as they...
It's not just the pitching that they've... Find these guys out of nowhere. Corey Jolks has been huge. Obviously, Mauricio Dubon has been great. Both those guys with home runs last night. Machete had a home run last night, too. He's been hitting the ball good lately.
And he got a nice kiss. Or was he the one doing the kissing? I don't remember.
He got the nice kiss.
The Astros having a lot of fun, and you will have fun when you win your eighth in a row. Yeah,
and you have the couple more with the Brewers, then you have the A's coming up more.
So you
more
got
fun,
a lot more fun. 11 out of 12 for the Astros so far in this run, and you think about how their minor league system has been ranked. Not great.
No, and every year we're told how bad it is,
and every,
well, it's bare. The cupboard's bare now.
And every year there's another player that comes up and makes contributions as the Astros continue to roll on.
Did you know J.P. France's wife from her reality shows?
I don't watch reality shows.
So I thought you might have done MTV Road Rules.
I have done that. I didn't know his wife was in Road Rules.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to have to look this up and see if I recognize her, because that's great for the show, me doing that right now.
It was pretty cute last week whenever J.P. was getting hit around a little bit, but his wife and baby were in the crowd, and JP has that obvious mustache.
I recognize this.
You recognize
her face?
Her?
Yeah, I remember her from Road Rules. I don't know what season or anything, but I do recognize the face.
Baby has a cute little pacifier with the mustache on it.
So
good
she
stuff.
That baby more into sports than your daughter?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Jessica. Yeah, there she is. I recognize her. Like I said, don't remember the season. Real World Portland apparently is the season she was in. Real World.
How many times was it in Portland?
I don't know.
Seems like Portland.
It felt like Portland got a real good look from the reality portion of MTV. RJ, coming up on the other side, I'm going to talk to you and ask you questions about your favorite team, the LA Lakers, mostly in the realm of what's next and are we done? Or do you believe LeBron is done? I don't think anyone does, but we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Anthony Davis. We'll continue to talk NBA playoffs, the Astros as well, and some NFL news, because the NFL has made a rule where it won't be on a whim because they do have a lead up, but Thursday games are now in question as far as who gets them, when who gets to play on in them, which probably won't make the NFLPA happy because nothing does. We'll talk about that and more on The Audition.
This is ESPN 97.5.
I don't know. I don't think about MVPs anymore, and I think it's people are just mean and saying that Embiid shouldn't want it. I think he should want it. I think he was playing, if you watch it, extremely, extremely tough basketball through whole season. And I don't want to say playoff doesn't mean in that, but he was really amazing in 82 games or how many games he played.
Welcome back to The Audition with Del Olale. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now here's Dell and today's teacher's pet, Danny Vera.
As Jokic was talking, it made me think of Stephen A. Smith when he went after, like, Ohtani because he was using, like, a translator. And he was like, it's not great for baseball because he wasn't speaking English or something like that. I wonder if he won't drop that line on Jokic because, well, basketball is his realm and he got in trouble for that the first time. But Jokic, Nikola Jokic, talking about how the MVP doesn't really matter that much. You saw in how the Nuggets treated it late in the year where they kind of took the month off, the final month of the year.
Well, yeah, the Rockets beat them.
Well, that's – if I was trying to make my point, I think you just did for me, where the Nuggets were like, final month of the year, we're the number one seed. We'll relax as we get ready for the playoffs, and it certainly has worked out for them as they're now in the NBA Finals for the first time in their history. Jokic won the Irvin Magic Johnson Award for the Western Conference Finals MVP. I think the Eastern Conference one is named after Bill Russell. I think that's what it is.
That's better than winning the Irvin Magic Johnson Twitter Award.
Yeah, he's not.
That's a different award.
He's not great. It's not named after a Celtic. Is it the Julius Irving? Because RJ gave me a shake of the head. What's the name of the Eastern Conference MVP award? He's looking it up. I mean, I have a laptop here, but I'm not going to do that.
No, man. You can't be typing.
It's the Larry Bird Trophy.
Ah, great.
Who?
It's the Larry. So it's not Irvin. It's not a Bill Russell. It's another Celtic. It's Larry Bird. So if the Heat do close it out tonight, Jimmy Butler, who will be the MVP if they do win it all or win the conference title, will get the Larry Bird Trophy. Didn't that start last year? And Jason Tatum won it on the Heat's home floor as they hung on to win that Game 7. But enough about the Celtics. We'll talk about another failed franchise, the Lakers. RJ, we talked a little bit about this yesterday and the potential future for this team, whether it be LeBron being around for a couple more years or the possibility that Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving are the leaders of the Lakers' future and present, which doesn't seem like a great idea. Considering the two of them, what'd you think about what LeBron said? We had a bit of a talk about it as far as do we buy it or not? What does it mean? Is that just him contemplating in the middle of losing in four? Is it serious, or is this a guy just going, having a stream of consciousness type thing?
Well, here was a guy just about a month ago that was saying on a podcast and also openly on other platforms that he wants to play with his son. He wants to kind of do a Ken Griffey Jr., Ken Griffey Sr. type of deal. And now after he gets swept in the NBA playoffs by the Denver Nuggets, now all of a sudden I have a lot to think about. And it's funny that this comes on the heels of Carmelo Anthony announcing his retirement. I mean, I wouldn't play with it if I'm LeBron James. I don't know if he's trying to say if there's a streak of success that he's going to have down the line to where he may want to come back. I mean, listen, Kobe said before he retired, he could have made his announcement as early as last season. And his question was basically, do I want to do this anymore? And he said, if the answer's no, then the love is not there anymore. I don't know if that's the same way for LeBron. None of us are really in his head. But yeah, just really an awkward time to say, I have a lot to think about, especially when you've been announcing for a while now that you want to play with your son.
Yeah, it's a tough spot for the franchise because they have some questions that need to be answered. That's a team that got rebuilt in the middle of the season, and it worked out for the most part. They weren't supposed to win a title, despite the fact that LeBron and AD are there, and LeBron's 38 years old. We played the clips back to back about what he did 10 years ago on the date last night, beating the Pacers in Game 1, and then couldn't get it done against the Nuggets, and not really his fault. Anthony Davis was a no-show for three quarters, didn't shoot the ball well at all. But when you're the Lakers going into an offseason and you have to wonder whether the centerpiece of your team is seriously going to be around, it's probably a little uncomfortable. I'm of the opinion he wants them to be a little uncomfortable. Like, he wants them to be proactive to, quote-unquote, keep him around, but I don't think he's retiring. I don't think LeBron James goes out getting swept by the Nuggets.
No, I think he wants to be in the league when his son gets in the league too. I mean, he's talked about that before, and Bronny's going to play USC next year and probably just a year, and we'll see what happens where he gets drafted and everything else. But LeBron's not going anywhere for the next year.
If
he makes it to the end of next year and Bronny's coming in, well, he's not going to.
No, he's not going to step
retire
away.
Retire then.
No, unless there's some debilitating injury, I expect him to be on an NBA roster when his son is eligible to play. The thing about, I know Bronny's risen up the ranks, but there's no guarantee that he'll have a really good college season and he'll be in a spot where he's. Even if he is really good and he's drafted, can Clutch control an entire draft and tell teams don't draft Bronny? Because if he's like a top 15 pick, is LeBron going to go play in Charlotte?
Orlando?
He might play in Orlando. At least it's Florida. He might go do that. Yeah. But is he
Paulo's there.
Yeah, he might do that. But will he go play for one of the dregs of the league because Bronny gets drafted.
I don't know how much of a big deal it is to play with him or just to be in the league with him and play against him once or twice.
I wonder if he wants – yeah.
I think he's been on record that he wants to play.
Yeah, so the thing is, honestly, it'd be better for that entire situation scenario if Bronny doesn't get drafted, where he go picks a spot where Bronny goes, you know what, I'm going to go play here. My dad's going to play here. We got a shot to play in a city we like and a team that's really good. The drafted thing makes it weird because I know Clutch is powerful, but I don't know if they can force a team, if Bronny's really good, force the entire league not to draft them. I know they have clients everywhere, and they might say, look, am I completely speculative because I don't know what Clutch wants to do. They might say, hey, you take Bronny when we don't want you to. Forget about signing this person or having any relationship with us going forward. I think it'd be better off if Bronny has an okay season and doesn't get drafted if we're trying to make this thing come together.
Is there any guarantee that even the team that eventually drafts Bronny James, is it a guarantee that they want to sign LeBron? Has LeBron thought about that at all? I mean, you know, it's, hey, I'm coming too. Whoa, my brother. No.
Well, that's the thing. Do you want to pay for the 40-year-old what he's going to ask for? Or would LeBron be like, you know what, I'll take the mid-level to play with my son? I don't know if I see that.
I can see that.
I feel like he's the type who would maximize what he could get. I think it's a fine dream to have. There are just so many things you'd have to conjure to get it done.
Yeah.
It seems unlikely. I think the best bet would be what you're suggesting, where he plays against him a couple of times just because it's the easier. It would be guaranteed. Like Bronny would be on a roster, and he would at least see him twice if they're in different conferences or maybe more if they're in the same conference. The whole let's play together is asking for too much to happen in your favor. But, you know, he's a man who's had a lot happen in his favor, so he may think it's possible.
I think he wants the whole Ken Griffey Jr. thing.
I think so, too.
That's what I feel that he wants. I think he talked about that on his podcast where he wants to be, you know, the father-son duo. And, of course, we've had, you know, father-son combinations in the NBA, at least where the father played and the son played. We've had a bunch of that. I don't know if there's been a father and a son to play in the NBA at the same time. I'm trying to think of it off the top of my head, but this is an interesting thing for LeBron to have come out with, you know, after getting swept. How many times has LeBron been swept? I mean, 07, is this the second time he's been swept?
The Warriors swept him in his final season with Cleveland when J.R. Smith didn't go back up with the layup. So I think he was swept there. He was never swept in Miami. The Spurs beat him 4-1 in his final series with the Heat. Yeah, so I think it's the Cleveland one you mentioned. Spurs, I think the Spurs, 07. And then the Warriors, and then the Nuggets.
And then here's another thing for myself as well. I don't know if we're factoring in, what if Bronny James does not have a good season at USC? I mean, does that now, you know, force Bronny's hand where he says, listen, I'm going to come back for my sophomore season? I don't know how much he and LeBron have talked about, you know, whether you have a good season or not, you're going to go to the NBA draft. But what if Bronny says, you know what, I think I need an extra year of college. And now that puts another year on LeBron James. And now does LeBron seriously consider retiring? Because he's like, listen, my body's too old now. How long does Bronny play this out? How bad? Nobody's asked this, I think, to Bronny yet. How bad does Bronny want to play with his dad?
Well, that's the question, too, that does Bronny, who's at least become such a great prospect that he's risen up the ranks and is a top 25 player and he's going to go play at USC, and he would have done that whether LeBron James was obviously the genetics help, certainly, but he's become a player all by himself as far as he doesn't need LeBron James to get him into USC. Look, the dream is great. There's just so many things that could happen that could tank it. It feels unlikely unless LeBron is willing to go play anywhere just to play with his son. You mentioned the teams. The teams are like, if you were 35-year-old LeBron, we would make all the accommodations in the world for you. We would sign Bron if he wasn't good. We would do the whole the package deal for high school, like when a player is really good and he has a teammate who's not great but they want to play together, a school will go, we'll give him a scholarship too.
Or dad who needs a job.
Yeah, things like that. But as far as LeBron, you're 40. Are we going to go all in just because of you at this point?
I know who's going to do that.
Who, the Clippers?
Nope. Little bit closer.
The Rockets ain't doing that.
Let's do it.
There's already a king here.
Yeah.
You can't have two kings.
You can't have two kings. One of them has to go. We've had this talk.
You know what LeBron's going to do? There can only be one. Bye, Jalen.
Like Highlander. Jalen's got to go. The Rockets. The Rockets already have their king, and it's James. They already have an older player who they're willing to sacrifice the potential future of their franchise for. I don't know if they do it twice in a two-year span. They've got their guy, and apparently it's James Harden. Speaking of, there's no transition.
I was
going to do a.
I wanted to see that.
Now I was going to do more of a. We're talking about the passage of time, but I did that with LeBron earlier in the show. It's time for This Is Your Life, Danny Vera. Danny Vera not only hosts the show with me today and yesterday and like a decade ago when this station was called 1560, he also worked for 610. And he's got some audio that is spectacular. So we're going to hear it. We're going to have Danny explain a little bit. He didn't want to give the guy's name back then. I'm not sure if time has wisened him up or made him dumber. And he wants to talk about who he was referring to during this. It wasn't a tirade because it was well thought out, funny, and pointed. So you'll hear the audio. Danny can choose to divulge or not. But next segment is This Is Your Life with Danny Vera here on The Audition.
You're going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. The audition continues on ESPN 97.5. Listen as these guys suck up to Dell for a chance at stardom. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Dell and today's suck up, Danny Vera.
Coming up the next 30 minutes, Matt and Adam figure out which sports flash anchor, according to the history folder, enjoys sights beginning with celeb and ending in boobs, and has a thing for Alyssa Milano, Angelina Jolie, Bo Derek, Jamie Lee Curtis, Jane March, and Sophie Marceau. One hint, it's not me, not Jeremy, not Clinton, not Rob. I'm Danny Vera on Sports Radio 610.
That is Danny Vera from at least a decade ago. I don't know how long ago that was.
I think it's over a decade.
Danny Vera as an update guy.
Judging by the names.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't even know if they're popular then. But Danny Vera, over a decade ago at Sports Radio 610. How many times was this? Now we have more clips and we'll get to them, but let's start with the explanation. Was this a one night thing that you did this, or did it extend over a couple of nights?
No, I just did it whenever I felt like it. Like the last flash, like nobody's listening at 9:40 at night. Certainly nobody who's higher up in the
food
rankings than me. So I just talked about the history folder because the computer was slow. Like we all have to. You didn't have your own computer. You had one computer for everybody to work on, and it was slow because there's malware all on it because you're spending your afternoon looking at websites that you don't need to look at because it ruins your computer.
And this is not a morality thing. This is a efficiency thing at work.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't care that you're looking at boobs. It's just
that's fine.
Yeah, but
who doesn't?
Yeah, but well, that's a John reference. But how about you? I don't know if laptops were as prevalent back then, but how about you do it on a personal computer if you so choose? Or just wait to get home. Wait to get home. I don't know if Sophie Marceau's boobs are so what's the correct word?
Who's Sophie Marceau?
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't – some French actress, I'm assuming, by the name. I would recognize the face, but I don't know what she's been in. But you can wait. That's not something you can't wait to get home to look at.
And not something for the afternoon.
Well,
for the afternoon
not at work, at least. Not the afternoon drive at work. So that was the first of a couple. Danny wasn't done. These expanded because, as you could tell, I think the frustration grew as the clips continued. So let's play the next one, RJ.
66-61. Coming up in the next 30 minutes, Matt and Adam give credit where credit is due as a Sports Flash Computer's history folder went unmolested on this, the holiest of romantic days. However, CelebBoobs.com was hit hard on Monday and Tuesday by an anchor not named Rob, Danny Fizzle, or Clanton. The Sports Flasher in question hopefully kept his pants on while ogling boobies like a fat person eyed fried Twinkies. Cause let's face it, buddy, you're not the only one here who has to touch the keyboard and the mouse, you freak. The most obscure celebrity this nameless and personalityless flasher viewed this week was Carol Bouquet, who was born in France in 1957, and whose last movie was titled Les Hautes Murs, which translates to dirty old man, stop looking at porn while you're supposed to be acting like an adult sports flash anchor at a major market radio station. Okay, let's tally up the visits to the bare-breasted celebrities who apparently still turn some people on. Blair Brown. Blair Brown received one visit. Jennifer Jason Leigh with 3 views, 4 visits to Tanya Roberts. And Ed O'Toole, good enough for 6 visits. And checking in at the top spot in a new record for visits over a 2-day span, this unnamed person visited Alyssa Milano's page 20 times. Congratulations again go out to Rob, Danny, Fizzle, and Clanton for not playing a little 5-on-1 while at work. Danny Vera, Sports Radio 610.
I'm not speechless because that would be a lie, clearly, but I love all of it.
How did I get away with that? Like, nothing ever happened. I just did it.
Yeah.
There was no consequences or anything.
Well, the person who sent me the sound.
I had to work with this guy, and nothing ever came up about it.
Well, the person who sent me the sound thought it led to a dismissal, but you're saying no?
No.
No, they didn't care. It was a different time.
I got a promotion.
I got a better.
Because they don't listen. Well, like, yeah. They don't listen at night, so.
And no one told, which is great, that no one. Whether it be a listener, no one's listening.
Well, because they were interested in the history folder. What's going to pop up next?
Well, is that the final one? Oh, we got 2 more.
Oh, my. I can't believe it. I did that many times.
Well, you were upset, apparently.
Sounds about right.
Are you, at the end of this, because there are more clips that we'll play, do you feel up to revealing the name, or are we going to keep that quiet?
No. I mean, it's pretty obvious if you.
Well, it's
if
a long time ago.
Sports radio history 15 years ago.
It's pretty obvious. Yeah. Hey, who doesn't know who you're talking about, right? All right, RJ, we got a couple more. Let's go to the next one.
Coming up in the next 30 minutes, Matt and Adam tell me why, despite my weekly pleas, the Sports Flash computer continues to get bombarded with celebboobs.com by an anchor not named Rob, Danny, Fizzle, or Clanton. 4 straight afternoons now, someone, presumably a horny 12-year-old boy and, you know, not say an adult sports director, has gotten his jollies looking at boobies. We start with a new feature, the most obscure celebrity who turned him on. 3 visits to Adriana Asti, who was an Italian actress born in 1933 and whose film credits include Caligula. Okay, anyway, what you're rating for? Let's tally up the visits, courtesy of the Sports Flash Computer's History Folder. This and apparently I Love the 80s Theme. Mia Sara, good enough for 1 visit. Annie McDowell, 3 times. Demi Moore, 4 times. Sherilyn Finn, 9 times. And the bare-breasted celebrity who was worthy enough to put off, you know, actual work in the afternoon, Bo Derek, 13 visits. Congratulations to Rob, Danny, Fizzle, and Clanton for keeping it in their pants while at work. You're listening to Sports Radio 610.
A magical time.
Sherilyn Finn.
I know who she
time.
Is, but I wouldn't have, that wouldn't have been, well, I wouldn't have done that at work, but it wouldn't have been my first choice.
Well, maybe she's on like one of the pop-ups or something. Like, I don't know
the functionality of celebboobs.com. So I don't know how all that works, but what a performance by you and by him to have full on confidence that, you know what, I'm going to look at boobs at work. How long were the updates back then?
I think a minute and a half.
So how much time did you spend on scores and this, if we're splitting up the time?
Probably like 50-50.
Oh, okay, a nice ratio. Not bad. We have one final clip. Oh.
People didn't care. Like, when the Astros were in the National League, people didn't care about the American League scoreboard.
It's true. So we don't, like,
they're more interested in the history folder. Which is just... How do you not delete it? Like, even dumb kids nowadays know.
He's looking for Bo Derek. He probably doesn't know how to do it.
That's true.
Look, if the man is looking for Bo Derek that many times, he probably doesn't know how to delete cookies. Look, it's pretty easy. Every kid who has ever done what he was doing on a family computer knows what to do. He simply didn't. We got one more clip as we close out Danny's opus on this individual. I'm getting texts about who was it. Danny can reveal that or not. I'm not going to do it for him.
This final clip is not about talking about who's searching up what on a computer, but this is actually an old promo that Danny did back in his 610 days. So, Danny, do you remember anything about this?
Hey, Danny Vera, glad you're here. Come on in. You need to record a promo with us.
What kind of promo?
A promo to let everyone know you're on the air with 1560 instead of the corporate pile of dung.
Was fired 6 months ago, but okay.
Hey, Danny Vera, what do you say?
I'm on 1560 and I'm here to stay.
Hey, Danny Vera, what do you know?
I'm with Dell on the weekends, also weekday shows.
Yeah, I wasn't lying.
Hey,
about that
Danny Vera, this just feels so right.
It's like coffee and Granado mixed with Cougars tonight.
Hey, Danny Vera, where do you live?
I live at 50... Wait, there's really no need for you to know where I live. This promo's stupid. In fact, a lot of these promos, very stupid.
Hey, Danny Vera, our feelings are hurt.
Yeah, well, maybe you guys should consider taking your jobs more seriously. You guys are PDs, for Christ's sake.
Act like it!
What?
Hey, John Granato, where do you live?
Out! Get out! Out!
And that was...
possibly the most undeserving Mug Award ever handed out.
What did you win a Mug Award for?
Promo of the year.
I would
like against Bam. I got AIDS. Like Bam, I got AIDS was that was the promo.
I remember Bam. I got wow.
I'm not sure if she made it to the award show, so they had to get somebody who was present. You had to be present to win.
Yeah. Well, that was a classic. Wow. Probably 2007, maybe 2008, 2007. Sounds about right, right?
Well, actually, it's all a haze.
Actually, I don't think I was I doing Game Time that early. I was an intern at this station that in that time frame. But either way, that's kind of a This Is Your Life, Danny Vera, and a bit of history when we were still called 1560 a long time ago. A lot of people. The thing is, there are plenty of people who that's not new for them. That's how devoted some people are. Some people have obviously gone to other things, but Danny Vera. A big part of the station a bit ago. So we will do more with Danny because we're going to have a special guest call in. And if you listen to
Cheryl
that.
Cheryl and Finn?
I don't have her number.
Bo Derek?
I don't have. Sophie Marceau, I believe, is who RJ got for the guest.
That would be a pull.
I don't even know if she's still alive.
I think she's dead.
There's a chance she's dead, probably. I'm going to look that up, actually. But no, we're going to have someone who was mentioned, at least their show was mentioned, in that promo. He'll call in. Because the This Is Your Life with Danny Vera is not done yet. I like that segment. We're going to do, and also coming up, I bought a new appliance, and apparently that woke up Danny to something. We're going to talk about something new in my life. It's not big, but it's a game changer. All that and more on The Audition.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's The Audition with Del Olale and the guy vying to be his sidekick, Danny Vera.
Some awful news before we get to our special guest. If you're a Heat fan, Scott Foster, the extender, is one of the referees for Game 4 tonight.
Huh.
Which unless the Boston Celtics...
It's going to take a whole lot of quit from the Celtics.
The Celtics are going to have to really try hard not to want to win with Scott Foster in the building. Heat fans all around the world are going, damn it, I guess it's a game 5 because the extender will be in the building tonight as the Heat try to close out the Celtics in 4 to meet the Nuggets in the NBA Finals. I mentioned a special guest, and it's really special to me and Danny somewhat because this is a man we work with on a little-known show, very little known. Game Time. Long time ago, when this station was still 1560, he was a host of Cougars Tonight as well. This station at one point did specialty shows talking about the local college teams. So I believe I think there's a show called Longhorn Nation. I don't know.
That's right.
I think there was an Aggie show as well. Maybe.
Sounds right.
And then there's definitely Cougars Tonight, which, as you might imagine.
Stuck on Friday nights at about 11:30 p.m.
Well, you get in where you fit in, and Kevin G. Joseph joins the show. What's up, KJ?
What's up, my boys?
Kevin.
How y'all been, man?
I'm really good.
Danny, dude, it's good to hear your voice.
Man, you got more kids. Danny, you got more kids than me now, buddy.
What are you still at? One or two?
I had a step, but I don't have that one no more, so I'm just down to one, bro.
Oh, I have to explain it, Danny, because... He was without a headset. KJ was talking about having only one kid now because he's now without a step kid, and you still have yours. Well, you have two kids now. KJ's down to one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just down to one, brother. How you been, man?
Yes, you. How you doing?
I'm good, man. It's good to hear your voice.
Good. Yours too. Look here, man. First of all, I told RJ. He sounds like he's in mourning this morning. He sounds like I felt last week, Danny, which I'm sure you did too. I heard you talk about earlier when the Spurs got Victor. I was upset for 24 hours. I hadn't been upset like that behind anything in sports in a little while, considering the Astros winning championship. I divorced the Texans in 2021 when they traded D-Hop, or 2020 when I was sick with pneumonia, and I get a message on my phone saying they traded D-Hop, so I divorced them. And the Rockets just have been losing since Harden, you know, forced the trade. So, you know.
It was a gut punch. It's a real gut punch. Like, it sucked. That hurt.
I put the note on the rundown. We've had a string, I guess, of disappointments considering the Rockets in the last week. I guess it depends on where you think about. What do you think about Harden? KJ, certainly not getting Victor Wembanyama hurts. I talk about being in a bubble when it comes to James Harden and is potentially coming back. Where you stand, where do people you know stand about him being a Rocket again?
Hell no. That's what all my friends say. That's what everybody – hell no. He's the reason why they in the position they in. Like I said, 2017, the Rockets won 65 games. The last three seasons since he said, get me out of here, they won 59 games and still haven't gotten the first pick in the draft. So, in essence, his presence has been a jinx because they didn't win anything, and all you did while he was here was get let down because he going to do still what he did last week in that game six or seven. I mean, that game seven. He's going to do that every single time. Y'all didn't dub him Elimination Game James for nothing. He lives up to it. I mean, it's like he wear it as a crown. That's his king. That's King James for him, Elimination Game James. So, no, absolutely not.
Yes,
plus, he's not, like y'all said earlier, he's not going to teach them. He's not going to teach the youngsters. He's not going to help them. He's just going to cash a check. And why would you give him $200 million? Think about this, man. James Harden will almost have made $1 billion between Adidas and the NBA. He already done cashed like $500 million. It's just insane. No, absolutely not.
Yeah, it's a golden parachute for him if this deal goes down. You sign your four-year deal for nearly $200 million, and you're nice, like he's a CEO at a company. It's a balloon payment, and they'll honor James for all his hard work, and I say that, put that in quotes, and they'll say goodbye. I don't get it. I think it's mind-numbing to even believe that this is a possibility, but all reports say it is, and the only hope I have is that that's James's people putting that out there to drum up some market to scare Daryl Morey into bringing back his whoopee one more go-round at James's price. Because if it's real, what's reported, that James had any hand, or at least was a fan of not bringing back Doc Rivers, then you've already bent to his will when apparently they didn't really tell Joel Embiid until it was over that they were getting rid of Doc Rivers, which is weird where, you know, the guy the entire franchise has been around or built around is the one being informed as opposed to being consulted. So, but I'm not surprised when it's Morey and Harden if that's the way it went down.
Right. Now, I don't know what their love affair comes from besides, you know, Morey's daughter doing the movie or what the documentary about from Sixth Man to MVP. Maybe that's where the loyalty comes in. Maybe she made a lot of money. Morey has made gobs of money. He's messed off a lot of money for people. We know how he did that. And so I just don't understand the logic behind it when it comes to a sensible basketball decision for your franchise, either by the Sixers or by the Rockets. Like, I mean, you heard LZ been saying it. What Morey does with Harden just doesn't go with what his philosophy as far as building a team is. And crazy part about it, to this day, he still hasn't put shooters around him. There's still no three-point shooters in Philly. There were no three-point shooters. When I say three-point, knockdown shooters here. So, hey, I don't have no sympathy for them. They done made their money, so no. Just like with the Texans, I have no sympathy.
KJ,
I'm Astros, and I'm always cooler tonight. Huh?
I was talking well, that's true. KJ and I were talking a little bit yesterday, trying to set up when he would come on. And he referenced how many times he walked in here doing the show, because we had a couple different time slots. We did the show in the morning, and at one point it was the afternoon as well. Saturday and Sundays. I think, Danny, you did one day a week, and KJ and I came in on Sundays and did it as well. KJ talked about the number of times he walked in right before the show started, which was, it was expected. What's the number of times you were hungover? Do you remember?
90%, because it was a Saturday morning at 8 o'clock or a Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. See, Danny didn't mess with us on Sundays. He had better things to do. He was strictly Saturday man. So, but no, and literally we're walking there as the opening is coming on, and I'm running up the stairs. But, hey, we can honestly say, Dale, I never got there after it started, and I never missed a day.
Yeah, it became a point where
neither one of us did.
I expected him there. I just knew it between 7:59 and 8 o'clock. That minute, right, between the final promo and the ID hitting, he would be here. I'll give him credit for that. So KJ went on not only to produce our show, as I mentioned, he hosted a Houston centric show, which is unfortunate timing because Houston sports wasn't great at the time. It got better. Now Kevin Sumlin, I think, was a head coach, right, or was it Art Briles?
No, that's right.
Yes. No, it was Coach Sumlin, and he came on with us, and I mean, I would say co-host, but I don't even consider co-host. Me and Danny were together. He led that show because he did that. He was in radio way before me, so I was lucky enough to have him to help me struggle through those Friday nights at 7 o'clock. I mean, that was the absolute craziest thing. They'd have a Nick's place, you know, extravaganza from 6 to 6. I would set up that for John and Lance at 6 in the morning, literally be there all day, and then me and Danny would do a show from 7 to 8. And by then, you already know everybody besides us, because we wasn't. I mean, I can honestly say I didn't get fooled throughout the day, but everybody else was drunk, and it was mass hysteria.
That's next place. It's to be expected.
Hysteria. Yes. Yes. Mass hysteria. So Danny's always Danny, my brother from Cougars Tonight. And Game Time, and Dale, me, you know, like I said, I did dub you the little ball of hate. And then, like you said, you can't hate him because you don't care enough to hate.
You know Lance thinks he made up that nickname?
No, he did not. How could he make it up? He ain't never worked with you every day. You wouldn't even work with him then.
I told him. He thinks that's his. And I said, no, you didn't. KJ made that up because, as you mentioned, I was an intern with John and Lance. But like you said, we did the show together. Yeah, I just need a clarification. He made me sound crazy because he said he did that. But as we know, he's a liar and a coward, so I'm not surprised he made that up.
Well, before, right, like, okay, I'm going to say this. I know you're about to go to break. That LZ, you already have enough stuff in your – you already get credit for enough stuff. You got all your characters. Just let little old KJ have the one little nickname for Dale Olalay.
Yeah.
Please. Thank you.
It's probably.
Hey,
look,
man,
I don't
you having me on, man.
No problem. I don't have a lot of nicknames, but it's probably the best one. And I will say it's probably a little ball of apathy, but hate is better for the brand. So I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Hey, man, I love you guys more than words could say. Like I said, that was in like 2008, 2009. So that's 15 years ago. You know, right at some, you know, if I'm counting correctly. And a month from now, I'll be 48, and I can say there's no way I can do the stuff that I used to do at 33 and 32 and 34. Getting up like that, I can't do that no more at 47, 48. It just don't work.
I'm not interested in doing it either, to be honest with you. KJ, I want to thank you once again, man. Love you, brother.
Thanks, man.
Talk to you soon.
I love y'all, man. Have a great one. Danny, great to hear you, baby.
Love you, bro.
Kevin G. Joseph, Cougars Tonight. You can follow him on Twitter, I think, at Kevin G. Joseph, I think. I might be getting that wrong. But that's a guy who I've known for quite a while. He called me yesterday and went like, and pretty much said, I'm one of the only people you like, right? And I was like, yeah, that's right. That's right. He wasn't wrong. So we'll wrap up this hour of the show. And that's a little background on how Danny and I know each other and how all three of us know each other. So I appreciate KJ calling in. Talked to him a little bit yesterday. It was good to talk to him again. One more hour to go. We'll talk a little bit more Astros. We'll get into some Texan stuff. Surprisingly, a Texan on a list of things, on a list not ranked very high. I know that's shocking to a lot of you, but it has happened again. So we'll get into that. And the NFL has some news about their scheduling we'll talk about as well. The audition, one more hour to go here. Me, RJ, and Danny.
ESPN 97.5.